Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Let's freaking go. Is it time to push the panic button on the LSU defense? Well, there is one analytic that says you should be very worried about this unit moving forward, especially if you are Brian Kelly. We're also going to talk about Harold Perkins and, well, probably the best pass rusher LSU has faced in quite some time. That is all coming up, baby. It's P-H-L. Let's freaking go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
P-H-L, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, gon' get the power. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Let me ting, gon' get the power. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power.
I'm going to look on the poll question as we start this live stream with a graph. How would you grade the LSU defense? If you're listening to this via podcast form, iTunes, Spotify, please leave a five-star review, all that good stuff. But if you're driving around in your car right now, going to work, or if you're just watching this live right now, you see the poll question, right? A, B, C, D, or F. Grade the LSU defense. And I think most of you, especially considering how things were last year, with Matt House, you would probably give this LSU defense a B minus or a C plus. I don't think anybody would give them an A. I think we would all agree that they were mostly good versus USC, but not great, but also not terrible. And then last week versus Nichols, they were up and down, to say the very least. So whoever you are right now, give it your best shot. Because right now you're looking at an analytic called Opponent Adjusted EPA. So this is from my good buddy, J. Bud Davis. I've talked about J. Bud Davis in quite some time. And I won't go into all the definitions of what EPA is, but it's an analytic that basically tells you how good you are when it comes to down-to-down efficiency, right? So what EPA does is it factors in if, like, let's say like it's the end of the half and there's only 2 seconds left and you have your Hail Mary defense and the offense gains a 30-yard pass, right? So basic statistics would say that is a really, really good play. You got a 30-yard pass, but EPA accounts for the situation where that was actually a win for the defense. So that's a very extreme example, but that's essentially what EPA is, okay? And as you can see, there is only one defense in the SEC that has been worse than LSU's when it comes to expected points added. Now, if you take a look at the offensive side of things, LSU's offense is in the top 30 or so when it comes to expected points added. That's the x-axis if you're watching this. But on the y-axis, LSU, when you factor in opponent, this defense has not been great. And I lied. I said they were the second worst in the SEC. They're third worst. So up to this point, they are the clear-cut number 14th ranked defense in the Southeastern Conference. And Texas A&M only slightly better than us. Now, why is that the case? Because versus USC, they didn't give up 30 points. And we would consider them a good offense. Well, if you actually dive a little bit deeper into the stats, USC's offense, for the most part, is actually really good versus LSU. It's just the LSU defense held their own, right? Remember, USC missed a chip shot field goal. USC had a few other plays that went their way, but they had to settle for field goals, whatever the case may be. But on top of that, okay, the Nichols offense was not good leading into this game. The week before they played Louisiana Tech, they only gained, they only scored 17 points. And offensively, their quarterback was like 10 of 20 for like 100 yards. And in the first half versus us, their quarterback lit us up. And we showed you that in the film study, how he was throwing with the anticipation. He was able to see what we were doing. And we were actually not only making plays, but some of our defensive schemes were leading into them making good passing decisions. So when you take a look at expected points added, it doesn't factor in Matt House. It doesn't factor in 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. It's just giving you an analytically painted picture of this defense, okay? So why is this Brian Kelly's biggest fear? Well, he knows it's only two games, but this defense, you can make a very strong case, has gotten worse, right? You don't have Jacoby and Guillory anymore. We've already done this on Sunday night, where Jacoby and Guillory, on if you're grading on a scale of 1 to 5, Jacoby and Guillory is probably a 3 when it comes to SEC defensive tackles. He is a good starting level defensive tackles, but you don't have any defensive tackle that is a 4 or a 5, right? That is really, really, really good. Now, Gio Pius has done some good things, and you guys have heard what I've said about Sean Washington over the past couple of live streams. But the truth here is the defense has gotten worse, right? There's still some injury issues with this team. They're hoping Zion Alexander can fully get up to speed as he had his debut this past week. So hopefully this LSU defense continues to get better. But another reason and another concern was what Brian Kelly had to say about Harold Perkins, right? Trying to find the best spot for him. Now, I had some viewers, reached out, DM me this today, some on Discord, some on Twitter, and I appreciate all the messages that we get. One was from Michael Carter. What do you think Harold Perkins' best role is going to be in this game? One from Jay Bird, who's very frustrated. She wants to see Harold Perkins used in a lot better situations and just let him fly around and go make plays. I mean, there's all different types of messages I have received. One from Christian, who said, Carter, we need Harold Perkins to be Harold Perkins for our defense to hit the absolute peak. Well, I do have something that I feel pretty good about Harold Perkins. One of the big things that he is able to do as a player is, as a linebacker, there is no quarterback out there that can outrun him, right? He is as fast as every single quarterback he's going to face, outside of maybe Jalen Milroe and maybe DJ Lagway later in the season. So Harold Perkins gives you a little bit something extra when you have a dual threat quarterback, and that's what South Carolina has. They have probably the fastest 1-2 quarterback punch in the entire SEC, right? Their first string is Lenore Sellers, a huge 6'2", 6'3", stocky dual threat quarterback. And then their backup is Robbie Ashford, who has given us fits over the years with his dual threat ability going back to 2022. And last year, some as well. He can flat out fly. So Harold Perkins isn't as good or doesn't give you as much value if you're going up against a pocket quarterback who's going to throw, because Harold Perkins isn't as good in coverage. But if you're going up against a dual threat quarterback, one like a Bryce Young that likes to extend plays, that's where Harold Perkins could step in. And Harold was a big reason why Bryce Young had his worst game as a collegiate as a true freshman, or Harold Perkins' true freshman season. And last year, you saw him make some perk plays as well. So do I expect a Harold Perkins breakout game? No, because he has struggled for the most part. But I do think there's going to be a few instances where he is going to be able to chase down the quarterback and hopefully force him the punt, force a fumble, or whatever. Okay? So it's a very interesting dilemma. That's why I think Brian Kelly is very concerned about this LSU defense. I will say this, okay? The Nichols film was worse than I thought it was going to be defensively. It really was after I watched the game one time through and then watched it over again. It's not sky is falling terrible, but I still do see some basic things that the team isn't able to do, right? I feel like there are times when our defensive line over-penetrates when you should quit penetrating and stalemate and try and find the football. There are instances where our linebackers aren't fitting in the right gaps. Defensively, our defensive back room is in shambles. I am starting to wonder why we're not giving Javian Toviano a chance as he is a rising year two top 54 star. I don't know why we won't roll the dice there, but that's not here nor there. I am very concerned about the Sage Ryan move to safety. I understand why they're doing it because Zion Alexander's healthy. And you have Stamps, who is a rising star, and you also have PJ Woodland. But I'm worried about Major Burns as his nickel corner. I think this game does set up a little bit more nicely for him. I don't think South Carolina has that slot receiver that can just go out there and murder you. But Six is a really good receiver for them. Eight, Nicholas Harbor, is the most athletic receiver that you will ever see. With a 10 to 100 meter dash at 6'3". So it is going to be a major issue going up against the South Carolina offense. I would also say that South Carolina's win over Kentucky is being way overvalued right now in so many different ways. The first half of this game was your predictable Kentucky-South Carolina game where it's just ugly. I mean, neither team was just playing absolutely amazing football. And in the second half of the game, I felt Kentucky did more to lose it than South Carolina did to win it. Now, what I would also say is Shane Beamer did a really good job recruiting this roster and just bringing overall more NFL talent on this roster. Rocket Sanders will be an NFL running back, as many of you know, as he transferred over from Arkansas. And the best player on their team is actually a true freshman in Dylan Stewart. Now, I would talk about Dylan Stewart profusely, but that's a little something extra. On our Patreon page, it is linked down below. I just dropped a 15-minute Dylan Stewart film study. He is probably the best pass rusher we'll play this year. And there are some really good ones. Nick Scorton of Texas A&M is really good. Princely for Ole Miss is a very good player as well. There are plenty of really good pass rushers still on LSU schedule. Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M. But Dylan Stewart, I think, I know it's only two games, but I think if the NFL draft was held this year, he'd be a first-round pick as a true freshman. That's how much value he has given South Carolina as a rusher, and he has downright destroyed some games. Now, once again, it's just Old Dominion and Kentucky, and this will be the best offensive tackles he will face all year in Will Campbell and Emory Jones, but there are some things he does that could give them some issues, right? This guy is a very, very, very special player, and if you want to see the full film breakdown of what makes him special. And you guys know I don't like using the word special. I think that word is just used far too often. I am very, very lenient on the word special, or are very harsh on the word special. He is special. Anyone that's watched his reps, you know it. Okay? So, let's hope we can figure it out. Okay? Let's go to Justin, who says, can Perkins be a good middle linebacker? Should he go to star and let Witt eat? Yeah, so I think part of the issue with making Whit Weeks your full-time linebacker is, well, he has some of these same issues that Harold Perkins has, right? You know, between the tackles, there's still some growth for him. But I do think Whit just gives our defense more upside. And I've said this before the season, I'll say it again now. I just think he's very good. Like, I just do. I don't think that's a hot take. I think most people agree that he's good. But there are plenty of instances of me saying, hey, it would not shock me if he leads his team in tackles. It would not shock me if he becomes a starter at some point this season. I will also say Greg Penn had a better game last week. He really, really, really did. So hopefully that continues going into this next year. Okay? So there we go. Jan says, I think College Game Day will be a huge distraction for South Carolina, not LSU. It very well could be. But I do want to talk a little bit about the elements, the Hurricanes, okay? Now, before we do that, bang. First $20 Super Chat gets a DJ Chark autograph card in the mail. This is one of my favorite DJ Chark autograph cards. It's an on-card auto, silver prism, touchdown kings, which DJ Chark certainly was. We could definitely use a Xavion Thomas punt return touchdown like DJ Chark versus Auburn in 2017. We'll get that out to the first $20 Super Chatter. And every time I've done this and I put a goal for Super Chats out there, they have come true. Okay? We're getting to $50 in Super Chats tonight. I believe in you. Okay? Now, I understand there is a very popularly watched event also happening right now. And guess what? I don't really give a damn. Okay, I will not move my live stream for that. I've moved my live stream for other stuff, but not for that. Okay, And let's not talk about that here. Okay, so the reason why I say that is because a lot of you asked me to move it because a lot of you wanted to watch that event. And if that's what you want to do, you go right on ahead, right? I'm just going to be here doing my damn flying. Okay, way too many departures and no roster management. After that, even the staff departed for opportunities. We've been gluing pieces ever since. Yeah, look, it's been an issue.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
It's been an issue. And one thing we have done for two consecutive off seasons is not done a good enough job of the portal, right? I understand refocusing everything towards high school football recruiting. And look, there's a large piece of me that believes in that, right? Especially when your 2025 class is going to be as good as it is. With that said, it would have been nice to have another bona fide, proven portal defender that could take your defense to the next level. Now, I want to be honest as well. There is a big recruiting story that is developing, and I normally don't talk recruiting during the season, but Jakeem Thanos-Stewart is more than likely going to reclassify. So he's a defensive tackle, defensive end at St. Aug, right? A school that has produced plenty of elite LSU players like Tyrann Mathieu, of course, and the great Leonard Fournette. And there's a bunch of St. Aug coaches on our staff. There was word that he would go to IMG Academy. And the danger of him going to IMG is that is more of a national program, right? You would feel him leaving the state of Louisiana and going to Florida, where it's a far more transient culture. There's more kids on that team that are going just all over the country to play. You know, him leaving the boot would make you feel very concerned about Ohio State, make you feel very concerned about USC and a bunch of different schools, right? And he is going to fetch a huge bag in NIL, okay? So, you know, I want to be real here. Him staying in the state of Louisiana would be very nice for LSU's recruitment, but he is transferring more than likely. The report is from Sam Spiegelman of Rivals, who I used to work with, that he is transferring to Edna Carr High School. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, there is a high likelihood that he doesn't even play football this year at all because of transferring rules, right? It's hard to transfer from school to school and be able to play. In Louisiana high school sport rules. That's what happened, I believe, to Tre'Davious Green last year at Zachary when he transferred to Zachary High School to play football and basketball. They didn't let him play basketball last season, which I thought was BS, right? But the truth here is, am I concerned about him missing 1 year of high school football? Not really, okay? I'm really not concerned about that. One thing that I would be interested in is his age, right? You know, is he closer to the age of your average 2025 recruit or closer to the average age of a 2026 recruit? I don't know. So we'll see what happens with this. I do feel pretty good about LSU's chances in ultimately winning out here because normally they have ultimately won out for the elite defensive lineman that they have gone after, okay? Yeah, of course, Ismael Shoshur happened, but for the most part, if you're a top 100 defensive lineman, you are more than likely going to LSU. One thing that I would also add is there's just not really a whole lot of elite defensive line recruits that didn't go to LSU that had success elsewhere. Okay, I'm just putting that out there. Okay, that's not a message to anybody. It's just truth, right? Softshore was a bust. Jamon Tapp has done nothing. Tim Williams was obviously really good at Alabama, but, you know, the truth is what it is at this point. So we do have a guest coming up. I didn't announce it. I wanted to be a little bit of a surprise. He is a proud father of a Division I Power 5 or Power 4 player, and he just played one of LSU's opponents. So he's going to give us a full scouting report of that team a little bit later. It's also a team that I know a lot about, which is Oklahoma. So we'll get to our guest here in just a second. Let's go to Carl, who is very involved in Louisiana high school football rules. He won't be eligible per LHSAA rules. Okay. Malik also lost his senior eligibility when he transferred. Okay. Pegasus says he voted C. I'm probably closer to the B minus range for the LSU defense because I'm an overall optimistic guy, but it's probably closer to C when you take a look at the opponent-adjusted EPA like we shared at the beginning, okay? We'll take a few more before we get to a break and our guess, okay? Yeah, so he's more likely not going to play high school football next season, okay? It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. But, guy, he's a really good football player. LA Mom's in here. Good to see her, okay? Don't forget, first $20 Super Chat gets autographed DJ Chark card in the mail. Also got a Nico card in the mail today. Hal, that is true. They did get a basketball recruit, pretty elite basketball recruit. We'll talk about it a little bit later. So there you go. Now, coming up, should you be concerned about South Carolina? Let's go. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Pooh Bear, we might get Ant Marshall here in just a second as well. Welcome, Pooh Bear. Follow them, the Golden Boot. That's GEAUXLDEN Boot Podcast. Are you concerned about South Carolina?
Yes. How could you not? With what we've seen from, so let me preface this by saying this: LSU has not been as terrible as people are making them out to be, but they have been worse than expectations.
Yes,
and I think that's the biggest issue. I am worried about South Carolina because one place where I think our expectations have failed is the offensive line being as dominant in the run game. And South Carolina's defensive line has shown some great strength. So that concerns me. Plus with the running back depth, that in itself is a worry.
Yeah. And you know, I think it was you or someone else, brought up before the season that you were concerned about LSU secondary. So how do you think they've played up to this point?
I will say the secondary has they probably have been a pleasant surprise. It wasn't so much I doubted Corey ability. I actually thought that we had a big issue with personnel. We didn't necessarily have the guys. And they stepped up and played a lot better than I thought they would.
And how do you feel the LSU offense has performed up to this point? And how do you feel the matchup versus South Carolina?
Passing, I'm not going to say perfect. I'm not going to say immaculate. Passing game is strong. It's what I thought it would be. The run game is where I'm worried. It's where I've kind of drawn my angst. It's what keeps me up at night. Matching up against South Carolina, I think that is I'm not going to say strength on strength, but that's kind of, I guess you could say, slight weakness for LSU in the run portion of the offensive line versus their defensive line. I think pass blocking will hold up, and they'll definitely give us enough time. I'm not worried about that part.
Ooh. Even though South Carolina's pass rush has been good, you like their matchup.
I kind of look at who they've played. Old Dominion and Kentucky, which I think the Kentucky win, albeit a good win for South Carolina, I think Kentucky is a little bit overrated.
Yeah, it was a very flawed win. I mean, it was a near pick six. The game was really close in halftime. It was just a Mark Stoops special. And there's one person who's been telling everyone that Mark Stoops sucks. I don't remember who that person is.
You know what? There was a guy who came from Mark Stoops' staff, was a defensive coordinator there. And when he got hired at LSU, there was a guy who had a show who told everyone, this guy isn't that good. And he caught a lot of backlash for it. I don't know if he's got any apologies for that. But let me be the first to say, Carter, I apologize because you were right about House.
Yeah. I mean, look, I will say this. All right. As big of a Stoops hater that I am. All right. The one thing I don't like, all right, is when you talk a lot of trash and you don't back it up. Okay. I don't think, and I'm starting to learn more about it because, you know, I got a lot of people inside the building at Arkansas that I still talk to. And, dude, the way that he pissed off Coach Cal for not letting the – you remember the basketball school comment? And Stoops would not let that go. And I was like, dude, shut the hell up. He didn't say anything wrong. Know your place. And you make $7 million coaching football at Kentucky. You've never beaten anyone with a pulse. And you didn't want to let it go. All right. And then he talked trash to South Carolina, who has had up and down teams, and they've beaten you three consecutive years, two of which at home, and they just blew you out on your own field. And here's something else I don't like. Okay. If I signed you to a lot of money, all right, and the next day you lose to Vanderbilt, I hate you for the rest of eternity. And that's exactly what Mark Stoops did. He is his negative aura, negative vibes. And part of this, Boo Bear, is my Mark Stoops hatred and knowing that he's spiraling downwards as a coach. He's starting to make me believe more in LSU, right? Because there's a concept in life where you got to buy low and sell high. Okay. South Carolina stock is way up for a team, Boo Bear, that just struggled with Old Dominion. And LSU stock is way low for struggling some with a Nickel State team who's decent on 4 days rest. That's what they put, yeah. 4 days rest. So am I wrong to say that I'm a little too confident that not only LSU wins, but they cover the spread?
No. So about this, the Nickels thing, we cover HBCU. And it's one thing we always say, you can't hide talent. Nichols has a lot of guys on that roster that probably could play collectively at several P4 or a group of five schools. They pushed La Tech to the brink. They pushed LSU. I still don't think LSU should have struggled the way they did. But I'm not putting as much stock into LSU is, you know, looks so terrible against them. We also just saw a South Florida team up until late in the game have Alabama on the ropes. So it happens. I mean, we saw Penn State with Bowling Green. I mean, these things happen. Especially a lot of these teams played a big week one. Or they may have a big week three game they're looking forward to. So you're not paying attention. I mean, we're not – it could be worse, people. We could be Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman, who is instantly on the hot seat now. So
I don't know. I don't know why I keep coming back to this. And I've watched a decent amount of South Carolina today, right? I watched some of the Old Dominion game, first game jitters, whatever. And I watched a Kentucky game, and I'm like – man, Kentucky just is ass. And it sucks that they're ass because they've got a beast of a defensive line. But, you know, it is what it is at this point.
Right.
I understand Rocket Sanders is good. Like, he's very good running back.
Oh, yeah.
And I know they have a lot of athleticism at quarterback, and they have talent at receiver. And Dylan Stewart is a real deal. I do believe Dylan Stewart is a very, very, very talented defensive lineman. But I feel like with the game day hype and all of this, that South Carolina is being viciously overrated. Now, this is what's going to be very funny. If for some reason we do lose, South Carolina's media team does the absolute best job of finding these clips. So I'm going to be viral all over their South Carolina social media saying this if they do end up beating us like 30-17 or whatever. But I'm still a believer in this year's LSU team, even though there's a lot of concerns I've seen on tape. And I still think that they win. I still think that they win by double digits this weekend. I don't know a gazillion percent why I feel this way, but you know, let me ask you this: Do you think game day being there affects anything?
For the fans, yeah. For the team, they don't even half the time they don't even know this stuff is going on. Right. I'm saying when I really realized this. We did, you know, this summer we kind of did around the, you know, this LSU schedule. I talked with James Williams of UCLA, Believe in UCLA, and I asked him about the Sissy Blue shirt comment that Ed Orgeron made.
He said
nobody in the stadium knew about it until like the next day or 2 days later.
Everybody
else knew about it, but nobody else knew about it, you know, that like really in the stadium. So a lot of times this stuff doesn't matter to the players, to the coaches, media that's at the game. They don't care. They don't know. I mean, it's a big time atmosphere and stuff like that, but I mean, honestly, would you pick this to be the matchup of the weekend, honestly.
That's why what Bomb said was interesting. Like, yeah, one of their biggest college football guys that they pay a seven-figure salary to is like, they shouldn't be going to this game. On top of that, it is interesting that he said if Kentucky had won, it would have been Georgia at Kentucky and Lexington. That would have made a lot of sense. But part of why – and I'm a media nerd. I think about the sports media stuff. Like, you know, I think about game day and all that stuff. I think part of why they're doing this is – like Fox Big Noon Kickoff produces big numbers. Like their pregame show has grown, right? They've gotten big stars. They got Reggie Bush on there. Reggie Bush is, you can make a strong case, is the biggest college football star of the last two decades, right? I'm not saying he's the best player, but like, especially for a running back, he's a huge star, right? He's dated celebrities. You got Urban Meyer on there, and then game day goes to get Saban and stuff. All they look at, these producers, are the ratings. And it is so cool that every week on Fox, their studio show leads into the game, right? They're on location for the game, right? It adds a little extra something to it. So I think what ESPN said was, look, let's do a lead in and let's just see what the number would be for a smaller matchup. That's just my logic. I'm just sharing a bunch of media stuff that doesn't mean anything. But it was a very, very, very bizarre game day pick. Like one of the most bizarre ones I think I can remember.
Yeah. Me personally, me and Ant have been doing a for our website, kind of a pick the game and kind of seeing it. And I was looking through some of these games and I was like, I didn't realize, you know, kind of some of the heavyweights that we've got. Just for instance, albeit I think the game will be a blowout, Wisconsin-Alabama was probably be a better pick.
That's what I thought for sure.
I'll tell you another one, and I have a little bit more stock or love for this game now. Boston College in Missouri.
Oh yes, the bandana.
Yeah, so
it's Red Bandana Weekend, is it?
I'm not sure. So I have a little cousin who just committed to Boston College, you know, this summer. So I've kind of been paying more attention to them. I learned a little bit more about their team, and so I'm like, Boston College is actually turning a corner. You know, they're looking a lot better than I thought they would. And then kind of, you know, Mizzou, it's like, you know, they're an interesting case because I want to see what they do post. You know, post Baker, and so that game intrigues me a lot more than LSU South Carolina, to be honest.
I thought Ant was coming on tonight.
His daughter had a she's not playing, but they have a football game and she's in the band, so
okay, we'll do it another time, no worries. Oregon versus Oregon State, used to be called the Civil War. That would have been nice. Okay. It would have been really nice.
The
reason why they didn't do it is because, like, I don't think people understand, like, the collateral of all the game day signs that would be there. Like, you're the reason why that we're not getting this game on Rivalry Weekend. Because there's a lot of people pissed off about this game.
Oh, yeah.
If we're being honest. I won't get into all the different reasons as to why. But it is one of those things where, like, you know, game day is such like an old timey. You want to feel good about the matchup, but having that game in week three and then having game day being there, they don't want to explain why the game isn't there anymore.
Right.
It's because of the networks. that's why that this classic rivalry game isn't being played anymore. So
I'll tell you two games that I also would have picked, but they're Friday night games. A ranked matchup: 20 Arizona versus 14 Kansas State. But it's a Friday night game.
Okay.
And another one that really intrigues me now, UNLV at Kansas.
Oh, Brennan Marion and that the go-go offense versus Leipold and Jalen Daniels.
Yeah. I think that UNLV, being that I saw UNLV week one in person, I think that Barry Odom has something, you know, really strong going on there, and they may get their second Big 12 win of the season.
UNLV, the Running Rebels. Yeah.
They are strong.
Well, it's funny because like Barry Odom's like the number one candidate to replace Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Which I don't think will happen. I don't think they'll bring Barry back, but that would make some sense. So, for those who don't know, you see the Houston jersey in the background. Mm-hmm. Your son's a true freshman receiver, Jayshon Ridgel. Mm-hmm. So I actually just did a deep dive on the SEC channel on the Oklahoma game, and I didn't. I was like, wait, Pooh Bear's son is on Houston. So I was kind of pulling for you guys when I was watching the tape. Okay, so how much has your son played at this point? Has he played at all?
He did play the Oklahoma game. He got in on a punt team. But I think that game got closer and stayed close for longer than they expected. Not necessarily saying that, you know, but they had a better shot as that game went on. And I think the whole game plan of, you know, trying to work certain guys in went out the window, and it's like, let's do this, you know, let's win this. If you look at it, Houston, and I talked about UNLV game, Houston got worked over week one against UNLV.
Carter,
I told Jeremy, you know, Miss Nikki, Jeremiah Hughes' mother, I talked with her, and I told her, you know, because she's kind of, you know, filled me in and told me some things to expect and stuff. I told her that was the hardest thing that I've ever had to do was be a parent of a college player when your son's team is getting whooped like that. Because the comments that you hear about other players on the team is so vitriol. It's so bad. And we're sitting in a section that's pretty much designated for the family. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, is that another parent talking about this kid? But so I sat there and watched that. And so me, as a being realistic, I'm hoping that they win. But being realistic going into the game, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be a blowout in favor of Oklahoma. And I'm watching this game, and I'm like, I don't even recognize this team that's playing on either side. Yeah, you know, on either side. And when you go back and look at the stats, Houston outgained Oklahoma.
If
you take away the scores and just look at it, you think Houston beat them.
So for those that don't know, their quarterback Smith was 24-28. Play well.
Yeah. Crazy enough, Carter, the score was 16-12. There was a muffed punt that's kind of controversial because they said it hit Matthew Mew.
Yeah, he's a transfer from Georgia. Okay, full disclosure. He was really freaking good at Georgia. I had no damn clue that he transferred to Houston. I had no clue. I've been watching Georgia for weeks, and I was like, wait, where's Mews? Is he hurt or whatever?
Yeah.
I had no clue he transferred to Houston. But the game was weird. Like, I watching the game, I was like, man. But the reason why I bring that up is because, of course, LSU plays Oklahoma at the end of the year. And I've done Oklahoma film studies on their first two games, right? Oklahoma fans blow my stuff up on the SEC channel. They hated how well I talked about the team. Like, so give me your honest thoughts when watching them. Do you think that they are just so unfreaking believably overvalued, even though they're 2-0 at this point?
I did not see full transparency. I didn't watch Oklahoma's first game. I honestly didn't watch a lot of first games just because of, you know, traveling stuff. But to see them last weekend, you know, you're supposed to improve from game one to game two. I felt like Oklahoma looks, I mean, they're bad. They are year one Venerables bad. And
Wow. I guess I'm just too optimistic. That's why a lot of people liked it. They thought I was like blowing smoke, but no, I've said like some negative stuff about him. Mm-hmm. I think one thing is true. Oklahoma's middle linebacker, Danny Stutzman, is him. That mm-hmm. dude is a freaking machine, bro. Machine. He's got a big personality as well. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's like Brian Bosworth or whatever.
Right.
He's good. He's really good. He had 15 tackles.
No. Now, I will say the defense is a Venerable's defense is a Venerable's defense. But they're offensively, they could not do anything, which was shocking to me. Jackson Arnold, I think, is a pretty good – I think he's a pretty good quarterback. He's young. He'll be great, you know, as he moves along and gets more playing time. How long does that take? Is that this year or is that next year? Because, honestly, I wasn't as impressed as, you know, I thought I would be, but especially against, you know, a team who played as bad as they did in week one. I was expecting a lot different.
Yeah, and one thing that's interesting, I think this game is so big in the SEC. So Oklahoma mm-hmm. plays Tennessee coming up.
Yeah.
And like
– Tennessee by a mile.
Yeah, so, okay. So I have been such a big hypal homer, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. right? And some of the most hate I got was when I picked them to beat LSU a few years ago, yeah. right? They, like, I don't think people understand how good Heupel has been at Tennessee, right? Like, and you know this because you go to a lot of college games. You speak to college kids or whatever. It's hard to blow teams out. It is hard. Like
Tennessee finds a way a lot.
Dude, they beat the crap out of a lot of good teams, right? Mm. They have beaten the crap out of a lot of freaking good teams. And it has always shocked me like how efficiently they do it. Like they beat the crap out of NC State at NC State. Good coach. Nico played like 5 out of 10 good. Like he was not great. Am I overrating Josh Heupel or am I like
no fair? So and it's crazy I say this. Because and the reason I say it's crazy because it has no bearing on anything realistic. The first team I played with on College Football 25 was Tennessee, and I played Dylan. I played my 8-year-old. He had LSU. I mollywopped him, and it was not even close. The next time I played somebody, I played my best friend online. He had Virginia Tech. I had Tennessee, and I had bad internet. It was glitching, and I still beat them by 3 touchdowns, Carter. It was Tennessee is really good. Nico is, man, I like Pegasus says, he, you know, Nico fan right here. I'm a Nico fan. Yeah. I coming into the season, I had what's good, Ant?
What's happening, everybody? How y'all doing?
Yeah. Keep going, Pooh Bear. Keep going.
Yeah, coming into the season, me and Ant, we talked about it. I think we had Nico and Nuss kind of, you know, even tier for SEC quarterbacks just because we had not seen much of either. But we, you know, I think we both kind of agree that Nico had the edge just, you know, pure talent-wise. So I really like what I've seen out of Nico.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would. And are you concerned about South Carolina this weekend?
Slightly. Mainly their front four. I mean, yeah, the way they've been able to put pressure on teams. Not necessarily am I concerned about our offensive line's pass protection, but if we can't run the ball and we get one-dimensional, South Carolina has also shown the ability to make plays with their back end of the secondary. You know, I think they got 4 or 5 interceptions on the season. So if we can't run the ball and we turn one dimensional, I think that kind of plays into what they want to do as far as just drop back, rush the passer, and let the secondary just try to ball hawk.
Now, I'll go to Pooh Bear here. SEC team that you think hasn't looked the absolute best, but you think could finish strong. Who would you say at this point? Or just, ooh, you could say any college football team.
Hasn't looked the best, but will finish strong. It's funny because I think we talked about them when you were on our show. I think Auburn.
Okay.
Auburn, so I think Auburn has a legit chance to finish strong.
Okay. And why is that? I mean, they got to change QBs, right? At this point, do you think it's a quarterback thing?
Honestly, I think it's a change at QB. Their schedule, I think it lines up. I think the next time they play someone tough is Missouri, maybe. They kind of lucked out. I know they do have Georgia. They've got Alabama. But I think Missouri is the next. I have to look at the schedule.
The next one would be Arkansas, who looked pretty good versus Oklahoma
State. Oh, yeah, that's true. You know what? You know,
that could be tying. Let me ask you this before we let you guys go. Ant, New Orleans Saints, are you buying or selling them?
Oh, man, I was very critical of the Saints coming into the season. But they looked good Sunday, man. I can't lie. The offense looked good. I liked what I saw from Kubiak as far as his play calling, the motion and pre-snap, a lot of creativity that we haven't seen for a while in the Saints offense. But it is the Carolina Panthers, though, and they might be the worst team in the NFL. So I think it's a little bit of the Saints looked good. And Carolina looked bad.
Yeah. The most I've ever been wrong about anything is Bryce Young. I thought he was going to be a really good NFL quarterback. And then I decided to double down and say that the Panthers could sneak up on some teams and he'd be a lot better. And that was the assiest ass I've ever seen ass be ass in a world full of asses. That was the most ass.
Yeah, that was
bad. Assiest performance of all ass performance I have ever seen.
That was on par with the Nathan Peterman 5 interception game.
Yes, because we knew Peterman was going to be bad.
Yeah,
we're actually believing. I actually drank. I'm drinking Kool-Aid now. I drank the freaking Bryce Young Kool-Aid, Boo Bear. I did. And what is it do? What does it do to me? What does it do to me? Makes you look so freaking dumb.
Happens to the best of us.
Like, I take prospect evaluation seriously. And Connor Wiegman's about to do it to me as well. Connor Wiegman's about to do it to me as well. I still believe. I'm still going to believe, but should I go ahead and cut bait? Is he dead in the water, Pooh Bear?
My guy is Jackson Arnold.
Okay, so are you cutting bait now?
I'm gonna give him a season as a starter.
Yeah, so I've gotten a lot of things right. I've gotten Nico was by far my favorite quarterback in that class. Right. All right, and it looks good at this point. My prediction looks good. But dude, the Bryce Young thing is something that I want that on my damn tombstone. That Carter, Ashton, Fobb, Bryant believed in Bryce Young, believed in my fellow short king. But why would I go? Why would I? I've looked at myself in the mirror and said this is more. Why would I stoop for an Alabama player anyway? Why would I do it?
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be worse. You know, you could be the guy who pinned himself to Sam Darnold, i.e. Colin Cowherd.
Oh, yeah. He was a big Darnold guy.
Oh, now he's tripling down on it now that Sam Darnold is a starting quarterback now for the Vikings.
Yeah, and Colin was out on Lamar too. But he wasn't as bad as like the Polians and stuff like that. Put him at running back. He didn't do all that. But yeah, man, they're good and they're bad. But then it's weird. So I've actually not shared this story yet. I'll share it with you guys. So I, when you're in Vegas, you just see everyone. The most random person I saw in Vegas was Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills. And I tried this up and talked to him. He was on like a very important phone call. So I said, hi, Brandon, or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I'm on a call or whatever. And I'm like,
oh, that was fake.
No, I actually overheard him for a second. He was like, he was on an actual conference call with like a few other Bills staffers or whatever. Cause I was like, should I go up and talk to him or whatever? And I'm just like, this guy's probably as good as me at evaluating prospects, right? Everybody's 50%. Like everybody is like half and half. And you have these guys that you believe will turn out to be great and they're bust. And then there's guys that you think that are busts and they turn out to be great. So, and what was your biggest, I'll let you go. What was the biggest thing you were right about that they had you out on an island?
Jordan Love.
Okay. So you're a Jordan Love guy.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was a Jordan Love guy, and I remember 2019 LSU played him. I was like, man, this is, we're gonna have to worry about this quarterback, you know. And then he didn't have the best game, so a lot of people were down on him after that. And then next thing you know, he gets drafted in the first round, and people are like, that's a bad pick, blah 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 blah, all this, that, and the other. And then next thing you know, he looks pretty good in his first year as a starter.
All right, Pooh Bear, what was the thing you were most right about?
It doesn't have to be
a QB either. It can just be
anything. No. I was going to say it's a team that it didn't work out, but I was right about them. Tulane this past weekend with Kansas State. They shot themselves in the foot, and I'm standing on that. But I thought that game – They were close. They were close. I shot myself in the foot on that one.
You want to know what the difference was? They should have upped the bag to your son, and Jay Sean would have put him over the top. They were missing that one weapon.
Listen, they've got more former Power Five or Power Four guys in the wide receiver room. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So
go on, Ed.
The biggest miss, I know this is a football show, the biggest miss I have, though, in sports is, I don't know if y'all remember him, but Michael Petras, who used to play for the – bro, I thought he was finna be like the next Kobe or something, man. Like, I thought he was finna be like the French Kobe, man, whenever he got drafted.
All right, you want to know the funniest thing about Michael Petras? There was this guy who does like these 2000s NBA trivia. And you probably see him on Instagram where he just says, name this player.
Yeah.
Okay, you probably saw this one, okay? He was the only one I didn't get right. And I was so mad. I was like, dude, people thought that this guy was going to
be. When he got drafted, I was like, man, they got the free.
Mikael Petras.
Jeez. Biggest bust in my opinion, man. I thought he was going to be the next big thing, man.
Justin says Baker Mayfield. Okay, I'll push back a little bit on this. All right, it would be one thing if he was like actually very good for the Browns or very good with the Panthers or whatever.
Or the Rams.
Did he win playoff games for the Rams? He won for the Rams and Browns.
No. He only won one for the Browns.
Okay.
And that was the 2020 year where the game started off with a 7-0 lead when the all-pro center of the Steelers snapped the football right into the end zone. Okay, and the Steelers just kept shooting, like what you said a minute ago. So shooting themselves in the foot, right? It was a Tomlin special in the recent years where, for some reason, his teams just shoot themselves in the foot in the playoffs. Baker's not that good for the Browns. But when you factor in cost and everything that goes along with it, sure, you would have probably liked Baker Mayfield more than Deshaun Watson. I will say this, though, Justin, and I know both of our guests here are Saints fans as well. I think about this all the time. Like, as much as we bitch about Derek Carr or whatever, I mean, thank God the Deshaun Watson thing never happened.
Hey, man, I'm dead, bro.
That probably would have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
Let me ask you.
It wouldn't have been a happy ending.
who's worse right now, Deshaun Watson or Daniel Jones?
Ooh,
Watson. Watson. Yeah. Mm. I would say Watson, because I have both of them on my fantasy team, and I'm actually starting Daniel Jones this weekend. So
what kind of fantasy draft did you do, my bro?
I was in a 14 team league, so I just
punted 14? On QB. Oh wow. Jeez.
Yeah, so I punted on QB and just waited and just took two dual threat, washed up, paid a lot quarterbacks.
I think what makes it worse for Deshaun, you brought him in and he's been hurt pretty much the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been suspended or hurt.
Yeah. I read a stat that said the last time he threw for 300 yards in a game was 2020.
Jeez.
Daniel Jones is pretty bad too. He's pretty bad.
Oh, but, you know what, Carter? Now that I think about it, somebody who I was right about.
Okay, go on.
CJ Stroud.
Okay. Yeah, that's one that I'll go to the grave saying, like, as bad as I was on the Bryce Young stuff, I wasn't a big CJ Stroud guy, and that's going to make me look so stupid. Like, it's just going to make me look so dumb.
Yeah.
CJ's so damn good, man.
I don't know if it was the Bama hatred, but I actually felt like CJ probably should have been the number one pick. Hindsight 2020, of course, but
it was the Georgia game to me, man.
Yeah.
That
game was so special. You know, you lost Marvin Harrison in that game, and then he didn't have JSN, and he still like just went nuclear, man. It was truly insane. And that will just always be my biggest miss. For the most part, I've done fine with like the quarterbacks. I also had Jordan Love as a first round pick. I had him higher than Tua, and I had him higher than Justin Herbert. But we don't know how that's all going to work out. Yeah, those two guys are looking good too. Justin wants to know: are you concerned about Joe Burrow?
Not right now. I mean, this is
offensive line.
Yeah, this is typical Bengals though. It's funny because we talked about this last year. I said they'll probably lose the first four games and then they'll go on a run where they win like 10 in a row, lose some meaningless game and still make the playoffs and as a wild card and make a run. I don't know why, but that's their formula.
All right. Doesn't help the fact that, you know, Chase missed a lot of camp and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
true too.
I wonder how much that factored in, but they do always seem to get off to kind of a slow start. But I watched a little of that game Sunday, and it wasn't as much as Burrow looking bad as much as Burrow didn't have time, man. He was getting flushed out the pocket, and he was, you know, having guys in his lap the whole time.
Fatal Jedi in here, Roby in Alabama, not that far from you, Pooh Bear.
He's a long way from me right now, but you know, prayers to everyone on the Gulf Coast right now too. So,
oh, where are you right now?
I'm in Huntsville. So yeah, he's a long way from me. I was actually just down in Mobile.
That ain't no long way, man.
That's 6 hours.
Wait, Mobile to Huntsville is that far?
Yeah, Mobile is the bottom of literally the bottom of Alabama. Huntsville is literally Tennessee.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We got Birmingham in here, Fatal Jedi. I actually do believe, like, when the Browns, I hope they go to Jameis soon because I think Jameis eats in a Stefanski offense. He's very similar to Flacco. Jameis will go where the ball needs to go. He's going to throw a few picks along the way. But the heavily invested offense in all my fantasy drafts are the Browns. I still love their skill guys. I do. And, you know, if you give Jameis weapons, you'll feed them. Right? He fed a lot of those Mike Evans 1,000-yard seasons. So, there you go. Last one for you, Ant. WNBA season. How do you think you actually covered the WNBA. You follow it closely. You bet on it. How do you think everything was handled with the Angel?
They did a terrible job handling everything. I mean, that's part of course for the WNBA, though, man. I don't have much confidence in their leadership. The people at the top, I don't think necessarily make the best decision for the league most of the time. I think the coverage of the sport could have been better. I think their treatment of the players could have been better. I think their lack of preparation as far as, you know, preparing for these two young stars to come into the league. I think they did a terrible job of you know, getting the league ready for that. I mean, even when we go talk about the chartered flights, something they've been working on for a couple of years, but it wasn't until the week of the first game that they actually got that lined out. You know what I mean? You would have thought that you had a couple months to get that lined out before the season even started, once you knew where she was going to be drafted to. But I don't know. I think they need a realignment at the top, man. They need kind of some fresh ideas and some new people coming in with some new blood at the top.
Their marketing is terrible, because anytime your top players are not, I guess you could say they're not the true face of the NBA. I mean, of your league, of the WNBA. It's man, it's piss poor. Asia Wilson should be getting a lot more love.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say, I want to go back to Ant here, because you watch a lot of these games, right? So yeah. I don't know, Pooh Bear, do you watch a lot of these games?
I don't watch as much as Ant, but I've started because he's kind of convinced me to buy the league pass, and I'm going to get my money's worth.
Okay, so, like, all right, Wilson's definitely the best player in the
league. Oh, yeah, by far. Okay.
Would you say Caitlin Clark is top five right now?
Popularity, yeah.
Okay, I'm talking about just – so she leads the league in assists. This team sucked. She gets them to the playoffs. And I'm not even talking about ticket sales and all that other stuff.
But right.
Not even close with that. No one would disagree with that. Once again –
I don't know if I could say top five, but I could probably say she's top 10.
Yeah, I like Agumba Wale's probably better than her right now.
Yeah, I would say you got Asia Wilson, Breonna Stewart.
Yeah,
you got
Ionescu.
I'd take over Sabrina.
Yeah, I would too.
Then you got Nafisa Collier, you got Agumba Wale, you got Alyssa Thomas. You got Alyssa Thomas. Then I put Caitlin in that next tier with like Jewel Lloyd, Caitlin Clark, De'Erica Hamby.
What about Kelsey?
Okay, Kelsey Plum, yeah, probably it would be in that tier. Ryan Howard, you know, Kalia Copper, she's in that 6 to 10 range, probably.
Yeah, see, that's where I was like, man, I don't know as much as like Ann. I'm not qualified to answer this question at all. So I'm just saying, outsider, no allegiances outside to Angel. I think Caitlin's top five. I do. Like I think I've watched
it. I think I would be more willing to put her on that side. That high if she played defense a little bit better.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. Pegasus. No. He said he didn't say Ionescu not top 10. He said just
she,
not.
She in that range.
Yeah. Right. She's just not. He said he wouldn't pick her over Caitlin. So
I think healthy Cameron Brink would have been interesting this year.
Very much so.
Do you think she's special?
Very, very special.
Okay.
I think.
No, he did. I'm sorry. I'm answering comments.
Yeah, I think Cameron Brink could be pretty good too.
I think Cameron Brink could have probably thrown a kink in the rookie of the year voting if she would have stayed healthy.
Yeah,
but I also think Rekia Jackson could have also, if she would have been getting a little bit more playing time as a beginning of the season. You know what I mean? Before Cameron went down, so.
I will also say I was shocked how good Angel was this year. I was shocked. Because I was so scared about her not having a jumper, and you know, there's all the TikToks about the style of play. I don't really give a damn. Like I really don't. Like this is my thing on the Angel Wilson style of play thing, or the Angel Reese style of play thing. All right. Is it the most pretty thing in the world? No. But Floyd Mayweather, you can't find Twitter a clip of an exciting match of any boxing match that he's ever had, right? That doesn't mean he can't be a star, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Angel is a star. Yeah, Angel is a star in a different way. So, Ant, do you think, like, she needs to work on her game? Or is there anything?
Yeah, I mean, everybody needs to work on their game. You know what I mean? Like, so by me saying she needs to work on her game, that's not a knock on her. But
yeah.
That she could be better finishing around the rim. You know, she could be a little bit better jump shooter. You know, she could be a little bit better ball handler. But the fact that she has deficiencies in her game, but she's still been able to average a triple double, you know, and set the record for two shows that she's got skills that translate to this level. You know, she just needs to build around those skills and add little pieces to her game here and there. So if I was her, I'd start on being a better finisher around the rim, the way you don't have to take three or four, you know, tries to get, you know, to get the basket. But if you can become more effective finishing around the rim, then you're going to get more foul attempts, free throw attempts. You're going to get more fouls. You know what I mean? It's
right.
You're going to be that much more lethal down low. Then step out and start getting you a mid-range jump shot, and then you're hard to defend. Like, Kaitlin has things she needs to get better at, you know, turnovers, defense. You know what I mean? Like, it's a learning curve going from college to the WNBA. But I think both of them have handled it very, very well, considering the success they've had as rookies.
Hey,
well, no, go on, Puver.
No, I was going to say, because Pegasus says her misses are about four of her rebounds every game. I think that the study came out, or somebody did it, the stats, of all, I think it was like, what, how many rebounds she have, 100 and some or 200, so whatever it was. It was like 57 were of her own shot, and if you took those out, she still leads the league in rebounding.
Okay. Yeah, so, I was always curious about that. I didn't know someone actually ran the numbers.
Yeah.
Here's my last thing on women's basketball, and we'll move on, is I need the next Olympic team to be young, okay?
Oh, it will be.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. In L.A., Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, and Paige Beckers. That would be insane numbers. Like, that would be ridiculous. Like, that would be, like, as good as a men, honestly. Because, you know, LeBron more than likely won't be on that team. So, I'm really excited about the Olympics in L.A. And I know they'll blow everyone out, but just that much star power on one team would just be ridiculous. And with older AJ Wilson on there, that's going to be insane.
That's what I was about to say. AJ Wilson would be in that Brittany Griner, Taurasi role of, like, the older vet on the team.
Right.
And then you got the young stars with Aaliyah Boston, and you know, that's fun to think about, honestly, though.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be the Beatles, man. Like, Caitlin and Angel, their first Olympics.
Yeah.
It'd be a big deal. You got that
on one side and Cooper Flagg on the other side.
Yeah, so on my Arkansas show yesterday, I was talking about, like, how big of a story the Cal stuff's going to be. Cal at Arkansas is just so big.
Yeah,
like, he's got his former Kentucky players wearing the Arkansas stuff, and I'm just like, I mean, it's only a matter of days. Like, what if SGA wore, like, an Arkansas Razorback or something? I'm like, damn, dude, that would be, like, insane for their program.
Yeah.
Somewhat of that caliber. Like, PJ Washington's a player, but
Devin Booker or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony Davis or somebody like that. But the Cooper Flagg story is going to be huge. It's going to be so big this year. And it very well could be the biggest story outside of UConn, you know, three-peating. But even then, you know,
I think it's a bigger story than that, just because you don't get that UConn story until March Madness. You know what I mean? Like, so throughout the regular season, it's going to be all the Cooper Flagg show. Then when March Madness gets here, then it's, well, now can UConn repeat?
And Cooper Flagg is white, and he's at Duke, and he talks trash. Okay. And, you know, it was interesting. When I worked at SiriusXM and I worked on the Coach K show, it was a year that they had Kyle Singler and the coach now. And like, he was like, why do people hate them? They're not like the hateable Leitner types, right? I love that Cooper Flagg has a little Grayson Allen in him. Like, he's got a little bit of that dog, that little bit of bite. So, like, I don't think people understand how big of a deal that's going to be. Because we haven't had that hateable, like, Filipowski wasn't really that good. Like, he really wasn't that good, right?
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg is him, bro. And he talks a lot of trash. And nothing gets the college basketball needle moving than the white guy that talks trash on Duke, man. There's nothing like it.
That's true. Whether it's Grayson Allen, J.J. Redick, you know what I mean? No matter. Greg Paulus, you know what I mean?
Greg Paulus. I forgot Greg Paulus. Oh, man. Let's go to Justin. Go to Pooh Bear here. I need to see something from Perk soon, or do we have to take the number seven from him? Is the number seven a jinx, Pooh Bear?
Nah. I don't think Perk has been as bad as people are saying. I mean, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's more of they're not necessarily bad. They just hadn't had the expectations. Everybody's expecting freshman Perk against Arkansas. And I mean, we're two games into the season. So he's not Jonathan Giles. I mean.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that people's expectations of Perk are a little bit unfair? Like, people are expecting him to be Michael Parsons, and I don't know if that's fair to him for him to have that comparison.
Yeah, he's just not as big as him and not as long. I mean, like, the one thing about Perk as a pass rusher, he's not long, right? He doesn't have the same, like, measurements as some of these other, like, bendy guys. So that's why they tried to make him an off-ball linebacker. I agree with you, Pooper. I don't think he's been terrible. I disagreed with the PFF grade of him in this last game. But he hasn't necessarily been great either. And I thought the Brian Kelly quote about him was interesting. But, Justin, to answer your question, I would not take the number seven off of him. I wouldn't do that. I know they're not thinking about doing it. But, you know, some people feel it is a jinx.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
So there you go. We'll take a few more. Once again, if you super chat, we'll keep it going all night. I'm glad you guys stayed up late with us. Your biggest, I guess you could say, NFL storyline moving forward is what, Pooh Bear? Biggest NFL. Is there a team or is there Jaden Daniels? Is there anything like that?
We talked about this. It's funny because we talked about this on the show. Ant brought up a good point that Bo Nix probably has the best chance to win the most games as a rookie. But if I'm not mistaken, Caleb Williams was the only rookie to win.
Yep.
On Sunday, this past Sunday. So
they won in spite of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he was terrible.
So I think it's
in the second half, but still you're right, and he's mostly not good.
Yeah, so it's going to be I think does this quarterback class live up to the hype?
Right. What about you, Ant?
I think the biggest thing to me is so far is what's up with the Jordan Love injury?
Yeah,
it's massive. Because a lot of people had the Packers winning that division.
Yeah.
And some people even had the Packers hosting the NFC Championship game. Conference Championship. But if he misses, you know, significant time with this ankle injury, then that could, you know, throw a kink in the whole playoff picture. Because if Green Bay is a wild card team, you know, because they lose their division, but they come into the playoffs with a healthy Jordan Love as a wild card team, like, they could do what they did last year, you know, go in and beat one of them high teams in the playoffs. So I think that and the McCaffrey injury. How serious is Christian McCaffrey's injury? How much time does he miss? And can Mason have another game like that if he does miss time?
Yeah, I think the Lions do win the division chance, but I think even the bigger thing is all the NFC North teams won except the Packers. Mm-hmm. And now they have Malik Willis starting, and you can't feel comfortable with Malik Willis starting. I don't care. And LaFleur is a top five play caller in the NFL. And they have, like, Packers have the most weapons probably in the NFL right now. But I don't feel comfortable with him starting. I don't. I think the biggest story is Xavier Worthy, right? Because if he continues to play well, they're getting Hollywood Brown back. I mean, like, the Chiefs offense could be nuclear, man. It could be nuclear again. Like, they were the lowest team in the NFL in yards per pass attempt last year, and they still won the Super Bowl. So they weren't even that good of an offense last year. Get Worthy, get Rashee Rice. It looks like you're going to avoid the suspension. That, to me, is an absolutely huge story. And honestly, I just think that entire AFC West is just massive, right? You know, to go along with the Broncos and the Raiders, Harbaugh. I mean, what if Harbaugh actually gets his team to the playoffs and wins a playoff game with Herbert? It's going to be absurd, man. It's going to be freaking absurd.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that because Ant, we talked about it. Ant asked hot take, NFL hot take. And I'm starting to think my hot take, it could happen.
Okay, let's hear it.
My hot take was that the Chiefs would be the only team to repeat as division winners.
Oh, that is a scorcher.
Because now the only one that I think, well, I'm not going to say the only one. San Francisco with a McCaffrey injury. I don't know what, you know, somebody could get hot and, you know, depending on how long he's out, maybe sneak in two wins. I don't know. Detroit, I don't see anybody challenging them at this point. So.
Yeah. So you don't think the Texans are going to repeat as division?
That's what I'm saying. Man.
Yeah. I mean, I had the Colts win in that division, and then I was like, I changed it to the Texans. I really did on my NFL show. And I was buying Anthony Richardson hype, and he looked amazing up to a point this past weekend. But I was like, I'm not gonna look like an asshole again, not buying into the CJ hype. I think CJ Stroud has an outcome of where he's like Peyton Manning good. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's his film is that good, and Peyton is my favorite quarterback ever. But CJ's film is really that freaking good. And I don't know if Peyton had a group of receivers as good as CJ's receivers right now. I mean, they're otherworldly. Nico, Tank, and Diggs, who had a big game. So, there you go. Well, fellas, thank you so much. I think I'm on your show tomorrow, Pooh Bear. Isn't that right?
Yeah. We'll have you on tomorrow.
Are we rolling tomorrow?
We'll kick it off at 8. Jump in by 8:05, and we'll talk some of this South Carolina and keep this good conversation rolling.
Yes, sir. There we go. And I appreciate your WNBA thoughts. As always. I don't talk a whole lot about it on here because I don't watch enough. But I'm glad that you, who actually does watch a lot, you and I viewed like the top 10 players about the same. Because I got in a lot of trouble for being like, while at LSU, being a Caitlin fan. Because
I remember that.
Okay, so my hottest take was Caitlin, even though she – and this was before she beat us again, but I still believe it. I think ultimately she ended up being really good for LSU, right? Because if we did not play
– I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Here's my logic behind it. If we did not – I've always wanted to talk to you about this publicly. If we did not play her in the national title game, it wouldn't have hit as hard, right? Like, I even think – okay, let me ask you this, Ant. Would you agree if we played South Carolina in the national title game, the result would have been different?
Most likely, yes.
Yes, okay. So we're going to get killed for that, and that's fine. You got to live with –
oh, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, you got to live with saying these kinds of things from time to time. It would have been really hard. Like, to really unlock how good that South Carolina team was, like, Caitlin was just, like, the perfect player to do it, right? It was a lot of pick and roll, get Aaliyah Boston out of the paint. And then Caitlin just had them shook, right? So, even though we didn't beat South Carolina, we beat the star, right? Like the cultural icon.
Well, I that's where I was going to go with it. I think even if, let's say you still would have beaten South Carolina, you know what I mean? I don't think it would have brought as much fame and attention to LSU because it wouldn't have had the same amount of eyeballs on that game as the LSU-Iowa game did have. You know what I mean? More people would have been tuned in to watch Caitlin Clark than would have tuned in to watch South Carolina.
Yes. So if you really rationally piece this together, okay, and I'm glad we're publicly discussing this, and Pooh Bear, feel free to jump in, whatever. Okay, this was my whole argument. Caitlin was the one person on the plane that could have beat South Carolina that year. People don't know how freaking good that team was. They were freaking loaded, okay? And that knocked the only team that could have beaten LSU out, right? Then we played her, and it became an even bigger story because one thing that people don't like about college athletics is that it's very regional, right? LSU and South Carolina would have been a very regional matchup. And then you had LSU versus Iowa, which made it a national matchup, right? So not only did that happen, Caitlin drew all those eyeballs, and then Angel became a bigger star because of all this stuff, right? Yeah. I still have the autographed photo of it, and that was the happiest I've ever been as an LSU fan because I didn't expect that. And then it was the 9 million views, and then her and the Cardi B music video, all that stuff. None of that happens without Caitlin Clark, in my estimation. And then this was my final thing, is Caitlin brought Pete Maravich back into the national discussion. Okay, and a lot of people got my argument wrong with this. I'd never say Caitlin Clark was a better college player than Pete Maravich. Just two completely different sports, two completely different eras, a three-point line, all that stuff. My major point was, and you have a kid, y'all both have kids. I don't have kids, but I have kids in my neighborhood who walk up and knock on my door, want to throw football, play the PlayStation or whatever, and I let them do it, whatever. One of those kids asked, hey, who's Pete Maravich? And I was like, oh, it clicked. Now young people are learning about Pete Maravich, right? The fact that he was – like, there are so many young people that have no idea how good he was. It got people Googling, who is Pete Maravich, right? So that was my main thing. I never said that she was better than Pete Maravich. That was it. Mm-hmm.
True story. I actually got to watch Pete Maravich's son play against Dillard University.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget what school he went to. It was a smaller school. I actually got to watch him. I want to say he went to Suno or somewhere like that. So
Pierce fights back. He says, I absolutely think beating South Carolina would have been just as monumental in the long run, considering they're still at the top of the world women's basketball world. Mulkey versus Staley. I agree with you in terms of basketball.
Bingo.
It would have been bigger. I just don't think culturally, it would have been the same.
Yeah, pop culture wise, it wouldn't have been as big. Yes. But in basketball terms, it would have been big because LSU finally would have been beating South Carolina. You know, you would have got the monkey off your back, so to speak. You know, and it would have helped you in recruiting purposes and all of those types of things. But it wouldn't have done as much for the brand and the star power as beating Iowa.
And one more thing is, like, you go back and you actually look at how we played South Carolina this year. I know we didn't beat them either time, but I actually was pleased that we were competitive, right? Mm-hmm. It's Kim Mulkey's teams never get blown out. The only teams that have really been able to blow them out is Dawn, right? So, yes, that home game sucked that we didn't win. And, yes, the SEC tournament game got testy at the end. But and would you agree? I'm glad that we were actually competitive versus them this year.
Yeah, I think our lack of depth this year was what held us back in that game. I think if you stack the rosters, you know, talent for talent, I think, you know, first five, six, we're probably on par with them. But I think they can just go 8, 9, 10, you know what I mean? And we're kind of stuck at 7 where we were last year. So yeah. I think that's really what the difference was. If you had one or two more bodies, if you had a Samaya Smith who wasn't injured, if you had a Katari Poole who wasn't dismissed from the team, you know, it might would have been a different story. But ultimately, I think you just didn't have the depth. But like you said, what they were talented enough last year to keep it close with them.
Yeah, and I'm also excited to see, and this is, once again, I don't want anyone to clip this and consider it crazy. I'm also excited to see this team without Angel, because I think that could, like, I think it really helps Mikayla in a lot of ways. Like, it spreads the floor a little bit. And one thing about Mikayla is, you know, her dribble drive game is actually really underrated. It's just hard for her to do that with Angel in the lane. So if Del Rosario gets a little bit better and does the dirty work down low, Wolfsberger's in, some of those other transfers. And I think this team, I would say this team's probably like a top 10 team. They're not as good as UConn or South Carolina, but I think they could be testing.
Yeah, I think if Samaya Smith can come back healthy, I think her in that pick and roll game with Mikayla is going to be huge. You really didn't see much of that last year. Angel's not really, you know, big in the pick and roll game that much. She's more of a back to the basket type.
Exactly.
You know, but putting them in the pick and roll, or even Flajay and Anissa coming off that screen, you know what I mean, just opens up so much on offense, like you said. And all of them are good with the dribble and can hit that pull up mid range jump shot. So you kind of gotta play them off coming off that screen. But Samaya diving to the basket with her big frame, you know, is a good weapon to have too. So there's a lot that they can do on offense next year with the talent that they got. And that we didn't even talk. I didn't even mention like Wolfenberger or
any of the guards
or Cheyenne Day Wilson or Miracle or any of the guards that they brought in. So, and I think that's another thing that held them back last year was point guard play. You know what I mean? In that South Carolina game at home, they had 3 or 4 or 5 turnovers early in that game that led to easy points for South Carolina. And they were at inopportune times right before the end of half and things like that. So I think if you can improve that your point guard play, you'll have a better team this year too.
Cost you the Auburn game. You couldn't even
couldn't get the ball up court. Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't even last play. You literally had to have Angel bring it up just so she can touch the ball.
That was ugly. That I'll never forget that game for whatever reason. Pooh Bear, I'll let you get the last word here. Colorado wins 6 games. Yes or no?
Colorado baseball, basketball, Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Dion, and the Colorado Buffaloes will not win 6 games this year.
They're cooked.
They are.
Stick a fork in them, they're done.
I think I realistically said 5-7.
Yeah, you did.
And that 5-7 was depending on them getting that win against North Dakota State, and they got it. 5-7. That still may not happen, but 5-7. At most. Yeah.
Hot take. That last game of the season this year will be Deion Sanders' last game of Colorado.
I don't think that's a hot take. I think most people are like, for sure that's going to happen. I'm just so over it, and I really am. I know you guys were a little bit more so. A lot of people thought, well, y'all are the HBCU guys. Y'all are super excited about it. But, you know,
I'll be honest with you. The last time I was excited about Deion at HBCU was when we saw him at Squat Media Day. And then after that, it was done. That was the last time I was excited about it.
I mean, this is what I'll say about Deion. This is what I'll say about Arch. Okay. And I know I'm putting both of them in the same category. So I work in college football YouTube like full time, right?
Right.
And the two biggest stories that get clicks are Deion and Arch Manning. It's just what the YouTube analytics say. Now, Florida State being left out of the playoff, sure. Like, I mean, there's stories like that and coaching searches and stuff like that. But they have been consistently the two biggest stories. The truth is, that's not a college football story. It's an NFL story, right? Those guys are like, Deion is so big, like he's his own thing. He always will be his own thing,
yeah.
Right? And
that's not really what college football is about, right? So I know the fight song story may not have been completely true this past one, but there's always something, right? There's just always is something. And the issue, and is like, he's not a good coach. Like, he's not actually good at, he's not good between the headsets. He sucks at building a roster. And there's all this extra crap that you have to do. He's not actually good at doing the actual coaching of the game of football.
And that was evident whenever he was at Jackson State. It was more so he just, you know, acquired more talent than everybody else at his level.
Right.
And but whenever he played a team that was similar in talent or, you know, better coaching, he lost. You know what I mean? And so whenever you get to the Power Five level and you don't have the most talent and you're probably not going to be the best coach, what do you expect is going to happen? You're going to lose a lot of games, and that's what's happening.
I'm so interested. Like, yeah. I'm not in on Shador as an NFL starter. Like, and you guys know, like, I mostly look at the film, look at the stats and all that stuff. It is so hard for an NFL. I have a tough time seeing an NFL locker room rallying behind that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot. That's a lot. And I know I'm a big fan of like star quarterbacks, right? Like, Caleb's a lot, but Shador is going to be like on a completely different level. So, I mean, do you think he's, you know, like NFL material or
talent wise? I do.
Right.
But, like you said, playing your rap song in the locker room, you know what I mean, in the NFL ain't probably gonna go over the same way as it will in Colorado. You know what I mean? So I don't know how he's gonna fit in the NFL locker room.
Deion treats Colorado like a park league. You play your son, you call the plays, and you move up when he moves up. Caleb Williams is a completely different story, in my opinion. I think he's annoying to us, but I think he's an actual good teammate. I don't know if necessarily – I'm not going to say Shador is a bad teammate, but I think his personality does not – favor those in the locker room.
Right. So. All right, fellas. We will have more discussions tomorrow. Golden Boot, check them out. I'll be on with them at around 8-ish. We'll have a good time. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Carter.
Appreciate it, bro.
All right, but see you. Obviously, great discussion from WNBA to everything else. Obviously, when you have a I don't have a whole lot of WNBA experts on, but Ant watches it like almost every night. Okay. I love women's basketball. I do. I'm not there. I don't watch NBA every night. And I love the NBA. So I guess if you work at football, it's kind of hard to watch it every single night. So in the next few minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. We've had one super chat. I thought we were going to get to 50 tonight, but it was Justin McVicker. Travis Hunter is a real deal, though. I still think, pound for pound, he's the best player in college football. He'll be on the Golden Boot tomorrow. So don't forget, I'm live tomorrow at 6 as well. I didn't plan to go as live along here. I swear to God, I'm going to vote for the political – this will be my only political candidate text. I'm going to vote for the political candidate that quits texting me every 2.5 seconds. It's every 2 seconds. Okay. Please stop with the text. All right, I shouldn't even adopt because I feel like that's gonna excuse you guys to talk politics in here. But I have to look at my phone throughout to see if we got any Venmos or whatever. And you know, I look to see if there's any breaking news. I have a lot of
tweet alerts and stuff like that. All right, that'll do it for me. Am I washed? Am I washed up? Am I washed up? I might be washed up. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. Don't forget, please, 5-star review, iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. And we'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU Boom. And tonight, we're doing white chicken enchiladas. Let's go. Let's go. Whew.